and they do just that. Jericho Lake under center. He's going to turn, hand it. That's going to be Will Johnson just riding off the back of his right side of his offensive line. That's enough for a first down as he's able to pick up two and move the sticks. The ball now spotted at the 17-yard line as Mike Blankenship checks back in for Caleb Gray.
Yeah, that Veer offense and that run with Will Johnson is the equivalent to the Philadelphia Eagles tush push, right? I mean, they're bread and butter, and it's dang near unstoppable, especially if you only need 1 yard.
And I love running it to the right side if you're the Vikings because you've got some beef up front in Owen Burt and Colin Barnett, both gentlemen at about 6'3", 250-plus, bringing some size to that offensive line. The Vikings now come out. It's going to be Lake out of the shotgun bunch formation to the near side. A little bit of a high snap, but not bad at all. Hands it. That's going to be Jackson Chang up the right side. Goes into the end zone. They're going to call him in for a touchdown, Vikings. Hit right at about the 2 yard line, but Jackson Chang just somehow gets faster and faster as this season goes on. 5 minutes and 14 seconds left as Jackson Chang gets a 17 yard. Jackson Chang. 17 yard carry. Sorry, confirming there with the PA announcer here. Who was the touchdown scorer? Getting used to saying it's Will Johnson as he scored the first this evening, but Jackson Chang said, I'll take one of those myself as he barrels his way in from 17 yards out. Vikings out in front 28-14 now. Lake in the Vikings under center. And Veer formation, he's going to turn, hand it. That's going to be Jackson Chang once again. My goodness.
Doubles down on him.
And you
said it yourself. He gets faster and faster each week. But not only that, he was so shifty. I mean, his vision is getting better. You can tell he's getting more comfortable running through the lanes here. And Saifa does a great job, as always, up front, creating those airport runways for these running backs to make those decisions to get in the end zone.
And you said it right there. I don't know if he's getting faster and faster as the season goes on. He's just running the ball with so much confidence right now. Kind of tell those first couple games he'd come in and run not at a full speed as he was just trying to allow things to develop in front of him. And I think he's proven it to himself and everybody else that's been able to watch him play on a Friday night that he can do it on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of things. And his confidence has done nothing but grow since week one, and it's been a ton of fun to see the development within Chang. So the Vikings now out in front 30-14 over the Kokio Red Devils with 5:14 left in the first half.
Yeah, it's been a ton of fun to watch the games I have been able to be here. Keep calling his number. We're so used to saying Will, but I mean, Faisal has all these guys that can score at Will and, you know, up front creating those opportunities, like I always say. It's just a fun offensive team to watch.
That it is, and the Vikings now waiting and getting a call here from the sideline, kind of deciding again what they want to do based off of the Red Devils lineup. And the Vikings now ready to kick off, ball teed up at the 40-yard line. Will Johnson and the Vikings elect to boom this thing deep and shoots on out of bounds in front of the deep man. And the Red Devils are going to come out on offense once again. It's been a high-scoring game here, but the Vikings have been able to put up more points than the Red Devils, out ahead 30-14 so far in this one.
Yeah, it's been a fun offensive bout. And defense, too. I mean, we've had a few big plays given up, but for the most part, we are seeing some long drives, some hard-nosed football in the trenches. Those big touchdowns have really been, well, I guess from Coquille's side, they've been big electric runs, but these big long passes, they need to figure out how to lock down.
It's been a Far West League bout, that's for sure, and by that I mean just a battle in the trenches. And Robertson takes the ball, hands it. Speaking of battle in the trenches, it's going to be Gerard, who's upended
by the one and only Will Johnson coming in like a rocket.
And Jackson Chang did a good job getting a hand on him right at about the line of scrimmage, kind of knocking him off balance. And though he's not going to be credited for the tackle, he probably did just as much as anybody else on that play just to take Gerard off and kind of make him stumble a little bit downfield.
Yeah, the good old 1-2 punch.
So now it's going to be a 2nd-and-2 as Gerard's able to pick up 8 on that first down play. Robertson under center, wing T formation again, turn, hand it. That's going to be number 28 up the left side. Does a good job of just lowering his head and dropping it to a couple of defenders for the Vikings. It's going to be Travis Freeman, the ball carrier for the Devils. And speaking of senior night, can't just talk about this football team. This cheer squad has done an incredible job with the head coach, Britt Rainwater, and a lot of seniors here in the band, and about half the band is here as it is Halloween night. Half the band looking to partake in Halloween festivities, said the band director, but a lot of seniors out here to be celebrated. It's first and 10 now, ball spotted at the 48-yard line in Cokefield territory, and looking to pass again once again is the Red Devils, and just so much pressure in the face of Drew Robertson. Did a good job of just electing to throw it away and threw it away at the very last second as he was strung down by a couple of defenders there.
Yeah, so Faceoff does a great job of staying on their toes. I mentioned earlier being able to keep their head on a swivel with this wing tee offense. That was the first pass we've seen in quite a long time, and all those receivers out there were locked up. That was a great job by the, not only up front, but the secondary as well.
Yeah, it was the first pass since the 30-yard touchdown to Noah Beaudry. And the Red Devils break the huddle now, second and 10. Robertson under center once again, and he's going to turn, hand it. That's going to be Gerard up the middle. Gerard lowers his shoulder. A Viking just curled up in the fetal position at his feet, just holding on, and that's what you want to do. I believe that was either Jackson Chang or Caleb Gray. I believe it was Jackson Chang, and if you can get a piece of that kid anywhere, just grab him and hold him, and that's exactly what he did. And it wasn't a scared fetal position. You hear that statement said, and it sounds like someone scared in a situation. He just happened to be having both arms and legs around the feet of Gerard.
Tie a big old fender block to his legs. He's going to have a hard time getting anywhere.
And pickup of about three now, so third and seven now. And it's balls on the ground. Bad snap. And Vikings not celebrating the fact that they jumped on it. So I believe it was the big man, number 71, the center for this Red Devils team, Miles Kern. And the senior able to jump on top of it. So the Red Devils retain possession but lose a yard, fourth and eight. And the Red Devils electing to stay on the field, it looks like, which would make sense. The ball spotted right at about the 58-yard line. Or, sorry, 49-yard. I was 49/50 and said 48 or 58. My goodness. Get your head on here. And the Vikings now burn their third and final timeout with 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in the first half, out in front 30-14. Coach Sam Johnson and Nick Johnson, the defensive coordinator, wanting to talk things over with the defense. We'll keep things here real quick, Mike. And we talked about it just being a hard-nosed football game, and that's exactly what it's been all evening. But you know that the Red Devils are likely to put the ball in the air right now, and we've seen them find success in a couple of plays. What do you tell your defense here if you're Nick Johnson?
Keep your head on a swivel and keep pushing. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Clayuslaw, you know, a fourth quarter football team, even though most of the time they are way out ahead by then, it's going to be a matter of stamina here when you're doing this aggressive run in the trenches battle. Because if they can only rely on this running back to score points, the defense is just going to have to out-stamina this running back. And it can get to that point if you have a running back with this much of a workload.
Exactly. So fourth and eight, Red Devils now break the huddle. Both teams work their way into the center of the field. The ball spotted right on top of the Faceoff Viking at midfield. And Robertson breaks the huddle, scans left, scans right, gets under center, takes the snap. He's faked the handoff. He's looking to throw to the left and has a receiver downfield. And that was Gerard, the intended receiver, not throwing the ball beyond the sticks, though. Had to hit him about 3 yards downfield, and Will Johnson comes up and sticks them short of the line of the gain, line to gain. So the Vikings take over for the fifth time this evening on the offensive side of things. Ball's going to be spotted at about the 43-yard line.
Yeah, only about a yard short on that reception. I mean, he caught it and came down and made that first initial contact. I missed who got the tackle, but
it was Will.
It was Will. Okay, same thing. Wrapped him up at his legs and stayed firm.
So the Vikings now on offense once again. 2.5 minutes left in the first half. Two receivers to the near side, two to the far. Blake claps for the ball, gets it, looking to pass, looks left. Pump fakes left. He's got a receiver, but double coverage is there and undercutting the route. Jericho Lake with his first interception in league play. Number three, Trenton Backman, comes up and does a good job of just reading that thing through the air. I believe that is now 18 touchdowns and one interception in the five games that Jericho Lake has been able to play for the Vikings.
Yeah, that's a pretty darn good ratio.
And you can't stay with a goose egg in the interception column all season. It's nearly impossible, it feels like. But I believe it's 18 touchdowns to one interception as the Red Devils now take over on offense once again. 2 minutes and 25 seconds now in the first half. Robertson in the huddle, or Robertson out of the shotgun formation for the first time this evening. He's going to turn, hand it to Gerard, and Gerard just hits the rear end of his blocker out in front, and the Vikings doing a good job limiting him to a gain of zero. And we do have a flag down on the near side. We'll see what this one's going to be called.
Timing and the placement, I'd have to guess holding.
What you would think. It came out rather quick. I mean, if it was any quicker, I would have thought it was a false start. And still waiting for the signal from the white hat here. And it's going to be a false start. So just a little bit late on that draw. And not the quickest gunslinger in the West here throwing the flag, but he's able to spot that the Red Devils weren't able to do everything properly there. They have the false start. Now it's going to be first and 15. Ball's going to be spotted. White hat's trying to talk to the clock operator here. Thank you very much. Take that mic. I'll just do whatever you're doing. We're getting treated like royalty up here in the booth. Bringing Butero burgers is what I hope Mike's ordering right now.
Yeah,
up to us here at half.
What I got going.
And Robertson out of the shotgun formation again. It's going to be a reverse. Hands it to Gerard. And reverse there. Handed lastly to number 21, Noah Beaudry. And if you're saying that Gerard has the football in his hands, obviously the defense is going to go wherever that kid is because you can't bring him down by yourself. But the Vikings doing a good job of not being fooled there by the trickery. And Robertson's been out of the gun the last two plays now for the first time so far this evening. And it's going to be a low snap to Robertson. He's got a receiver open over the seam. And good timing by the defensive back, Tom Morgan. I don't know if he ever saw the football in the air, but it was able to kind of read the eyes of the receiver and the hands.
You're talking to the official here. He wanted a flag, but that was pretty clean to me.
It was timed beautifully, and I'm glad that the referee confidently said that it was as well, as that ball was up in the air for a good 25, 30 yards and would have hit his receiver in stride. But Tom Morgan did a good job of just breaking up just in time. Any sooner, that's a flag. Any later, that's a completion. So now third and about 14 for the Red Devils. Minute 25 seconds left. Clock stopped here in the second quarter. Robertson out of the shotgun again, rolling to his right, looking to his right. He's got Franzoni in his face. That ball's just a duck in midair. Oh, my goodness. They got a passing interference.
Didn't even touch him.
Didn't really touch him. And either way, the Vikings would have been able to easily come away with an interception if they just had turned their head on defense in coverage, because that ball looks almost like a punt as Robertson was forced to try to get that ball quickly over the hands of Bryce Franzoni, who was bringing pressure right in his face. And that's going to be a first down moving the chains for the Kokio Red Devils as they were facing a third and 14. And Red Devils now first and 10 with the ball spotted at the 47.
Yeah, you hate to see it. I mean, it's hard because any sort of contact or anything, and that receiver throws his hands up in the air, I can imagine it being pretty easy to throw a flag there. But
Robertson gets the snap out of the shotgun, kind of low again. Got good pressure in him from Franzoni, and that's going to be Jackson Chang and Will Johnson along with Jacob Mann, I believe, bringing him down. And that's going to be a carry for Robertson, which is going to keep the clock moving, which forces the Red Devils to burn a timeout with a minute and 6 seconds left in the second quarter here. We'll take a quick timeout, be back here with a minute six in the first half. Vikings out in front, 30-14. Stay with us here on Coast Radio Sports. A minute and 6 seconds left here in the first half. Vikings hosting the Kokio Red Devils in the Far West League bout, the last one of the season. Red Devils now facing a second and four. And Robertson out of the shotgun formation again, low snap. looking to pass. He's got good pressure and kind of dumps it over the top of the defense, and that's going to be Dylan Gray. Lucky not to get a late hit there, as he was kind of working the intended receiver, number 16, Cody Ring, out of bounds. And he wasn't out of bounds quite yet before he slung him down, but he was very, very close. And the Devils hurrying to get back to the line of scrimmage, though. The clock is stopped. Robertson out of the shotgun formation. Two receivers to the near side. It's going to be Gerard up the middle. He's got good blocking out in front of him, and he's trying to get the edge. It's him and Coleman Weedman in the open field, and Coleman Weedman unable to bring him down. So Gerard able to punch it in for six with 47 seconds left in the first half. And that was a good play call, as everybody, it would have been nothing but putting it through the air for the Red Devils. Kind of lulled the Vikings to sleep and worrying about Gerard on the ground and made them feel it there as he scampers in for six for the Devils. Vikings still out in front 30-20. And Red Devils are going to be lined up to go for a nice two-point conversion attempt here. Try to cut that lead to eight. And under center once again is Robertson. Back in that wing T formation, he's going to hand it up the middle to Gerard. The big Colin Barnett. And now Owen Burt and a couple others there beating him at the line of scrimmage. So 10 points is still the lead for the Vikings. A two-possession game, 47 seconds left here in the first half. 30-20 is the score. The Vikings still out in front.
Hey, you don't want to underplay that stop on the two-point conversion, because that continues to make it a two-possession football game.
Yeah, that's big. And the Vikings will get possession after that halftime break as they deferred that opening coin toss. And speaking of halftime, stay with us for the Les Schwab Tire halftime show here in just a few minutes. We're going to go over Sisaw cross country as well as Sisaw boys soccer, both looking to make a run at state titles here shortly. So we'll talk about that at the Les Schwab Tire halftime show. The Vikings had an outstanding performance at the district cross country meet. But again, we'll dive into that here in a little bit. Stick with us at halftime for that.
Curious to see what Sayuso wants to do here with 47 seconds left on the clock, getting the ball back at half. Do they try and go down and put some more points on the board, or do they kind of run this one out?
I foresee them trying to see what happens on first down here, if they're able to get good gain out of it, really trying to push this thing downfield. Red Devils on the kickoff, likely to just kick it downfield, decide to do an onside kick again. And
I don't get the onside kick to the second level.
I don't either. It's you're not really giving them an opportunity to return it, which I don't mind, but you're also not giving yourself really a chance to get to that football if it is not received properly by the returning team. So the Vikings take over now on the 40-yard line.
Well, yeah, and that's just it, too. You're giving the other team the ball on the 40. I mean, great field position.
You also only had to burn 3 seconds of clock if you're the Vikings, which is favorable for you. The Vikings, however, have no timeouts, and a timeout, speaking of, the Red Devils decide to burn one here. So we'll go ahead and do the same thing here on Coast Radio Sports. The Vikings out in front 30-20 with 44 seconds left in the first half. Be right back after this break. And speaking of the band and speaking of people that make this thing happen, Cameron Utz in the booth. Got to give a shout-out to him at halftime. But right now we'll keep things here at Hans Peterson Field. The Vikings facing a 1st and 10 on their own 40-yard line. Blake looking to roll to his left, throw to his left. He's got a receiver along the sidelines just over the outstretched hands, over the head of Micah Blankenship, who was 15 yards downfield. That would have been a nice gain and only burn 4 seconds of clock. Either way, the Vikings have a 2nd and 10 now, 39 seconds left, and got to throw things to the sidelines right now if you're the Vikings, as you have all three timeouts that have been taken so far in this first half.
Yeah, no harm, no foul there. It was a great shot to take. Not too much time off the clock. Let's see if they can do it again.
And two receivers come out, trips formation to the near side. Jericho Lake out of the shotgun. Gets the snap, looking to get his left. Rolls to his left. Looks to throw to his right now. Down the seam, catching it in stride, going down to get it. Tom Morgan, the intended receiver there, doing a good job of making an adjustment with his body. And
Blankenship signaling his teammates to get on the ball. They got a snap to
ball stopped. It should not have. 32 seconds now. Lake on the ball quickly. Gets the snap. Throws to his left along the sidelines. again, unable to connect with Micah Blankenship, and 24 seconds left on the clock. What a throw by Jericho Lake. Rolled to his left, looked to his left, went through his progressions. No one was open. Last second, scans to his right, finds Tom Morgan down the seam, hits him in stride. Tom Morgan did a good job adjusting his body, going down to get that ball.
And what a throw to bounce back from the previous interception he's thrown to be able to wash that and throw a good ball there.
So now the ball spotted at about the 32-yard line. Second and 10 for the Vikings. 24 seconds left in the first half. Two receivers come out to the near side, two to the far side. Johnson lined up to Lake's left. Lake gets the snap, looks to his right, steps up in a pocket. He's got a lot of pressure in his face, and we have a flag thrown now. So the clock is going to stop with 19 seconds left. You'd think it was a hold with how much pressure was in the face of Lake, and that is exactly what is called. And the Devils dialed up the pressure there, and it was a well-timed.
Great time blitz, yeah.
Blitz indeed. Thank you for finishing my train of thought there as the train just derailed itself. Now the Vikings have a third and long. Ball spotted on their own 40-yard line. Clocks are rolling. 10 seconds. And Lake calls for motion to the far side. That's going to be another stoppage here. And it's going to likely be a false start as that snap looked a little bit late coming out. They're going to call an offside on the Red Devils. So that's going to move things forward 5 yards for the Vikings. And if anybody has the ball or the cannon, the arm, the gun, whatever you want to call that thing that Jericho Lake has for a right arm, push the ball downfield 35 yards. It's Jericho Lake.
I already threw a 45-yard touchdown in the first quarter there. So
yeah, it went down as an 87-yard touchdown, and it was 45 yards through the air, hitting Will Johnson in stride. Lake comes out. Vikings in a bunch formation to the far side. Lake under or out of the shotgun formation, sends Blankenship in motion, fakes the handoff to him. It's going to be a design screen. Will Johnson's got good blocking out in front of him. He's got a head of steam, one man to beat. He does just that. Will Johnson, four TDs in one half. Drew Robertson drew the short straw, trying to bring him down in the open field. And Will Johnson able to steam his way into the end zone with zeros on the clock in the first half. 36-20 as 35 yards. Everybody knows that Lake has the arm to push it downfield into the end zone, including the Coquille Red Devils, and the Vikings had a bunch formation to the far side, and the entire defense stacked on that side. The Vikings had a design screenplay to the near side, and good blocking out in front of Will Johnson as he barrels his way downfield into the end zone. Vikings now lined up for a two-point conversion. Morgan goes in motion to the near side, or sorry, to the far side, and it's going to be instant pressure in the face of Jericho Lake coming off from the designed DB blitz, cornerback blitz with Noah Beaudry. But the Vikings, either way, would take 6 points any day with 4 seconds left on in the first half. What a half it was for the Vikes. We're going to go ahead, though, take a quick 60-second break and be back here after this here on Coast Radio Sports. Vikings out in front at halftime, 36-20 over the Coquille Red Devils. Yes, John Thompson, a big shout-out to BJ's Ice Cream, but also a big shout-out to the Cheered Squad here at Hans Peterson Field. And my goodness, it's been so much fun to see just the development under Britt Rainwater. This cheer squad has taken more than 20 cheerleaders out there, filled with plenty of seniors, and putting on quite the performance there here at halftime. But let's talk about the rest of sports here on the Les Schwab Tire Halftime Show. We'll start on the trails, though, where both Sisla cross-country teams turned in dominant performances at yesterday's 3A, 2A, and 1A district meet held at the Valley of the Rogue State Park in Southern Oregon. Sisla boys continued their incredible season, taking first place overall once again with 29 points. Seven Vikings finished inside the top 15, going 2, 3, 4, 8, 11, 14, and 15 at the district meet. Henry Stone led the way for the Sisla Vikings, crossing the line 15 minutes and 59 seconds. Right behind him was Bentley Nelson, Ezra King, and Taylor Jensen, with Camden Linton rounding out the top five for the Vikings, finishing 11th overall. Not to be outdone, though, the Sisla girls also captured first place at the district level, scoring 58 points. Senior Adeline Holbrook led the way with a time of 19:58. good for a 7th overall finish, followed by strong performances from Pearl Jensen, Claire McNeil, Abigail Jones, Clover Holbrook, Brooke, and Afton Linton. Congratulations to both the boys and girls teams on sweeping the district meet. They'll now turn their attention to the state championship set for November 8th at LCC in Eugene. That is Lane Community College, for those of you who don't know. The girls' race kicks off at 10:35. Thank you very much. At 10:35, with the boys following at 11:10. Best of luck to both squads as they look to bring home some more state titles for the Sayslaw Vikings. Moving to the pitch, the Sayslaw boys soccer team is still playing and is also chasing postseason glory. The Vikings wrapped up their regular season with a strong 3-1 road win over Pacific Bandon in a tune-up match on October 28th, finishing the year with a 9-4 overall record and 6-2 in league play. Good for a second-place finish in the district standings. That effort earned them the 13th seed in the OSAA state playoffs, where they'll host the North Valley Knights, a name that is all too familiar for Vikings fans. Tomorrow afternoon, that match will take place on November 1st at 4:30 p.m. here at Hans Peterson Field. The winner of that match will advance to face the Dayton Pirates in the next round. Best of luck to head coach Lalonde tomorrow and the entire Vikings squad as they look to make another deep postseason run. And finally, looking at college football, the Oregon Ducks are on a bye week as they prepare to travel to Iowa City next weekend to face the Iowa Hawkeyes in a Big Ten matchup. The Oregon State Beavers will be in action tomorrow evening, hosting the Washington State Cougars at Reser Stadium. Kickoff for that one is set for 4:30 p.m., and you can catch all the action right here on KCFM. That's a look around Sayslaw sports and the college football scene. We'll take a 2-minute break here and be back after this here on Coast Radio Sports. We're going to be talking about the first half of the Vikings, where they are out in front of the Coquille Red Devils 36-20 on senior night here at Hans Peterson Field. Stay with us here on Coast Radio Sports. Welcome back to Hans Peterson Field. Michael, you want to talk about that first half here a second?
Yeah, we're both caught mid-chewing on these wonderful Lutero burgers. Yeah, quick recap. I mean, score is 36-20. Obviously, we talked about it. There was a big offensive bout on either side of the ball. Looked like Sayuslaw did a good job readjusting to that wing tee offense and then also them spreading it out on a few big plays early in the first quarter. It looked like they did a good job locking that down towards the end of the second going into this half. They had a big offensive showdown in the trenches too. We've said his name all night and I forget him, Oliver Girard there. Hasn't seemed to slow up at all running the ball. I talked about stamina and conditioning being an issue when a player has that big of a workload. But, I mean, this whole first half, we said his name a ton, and it really didn't seem like he lost any speed for that last touchdown for the Coquille Red Devils tonight. But I'd say Sayuslaw's doing a great job on both sides of the ball. Obviously, offense, they're doing great. Everything's clicking there. Defense is just going to be a matter of shutting him down in that second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think you pinned the tail on the donkey there. It is just that. If you can stop Oliver Girard from getting those big gains offensively for the Red Devils, I like your odds. And I still like the Vikings' odds up 36-20, but there's an entire half of football to be played, and you can guarantee that they're not in that locker room, joking around and laughing and giggling. It is all business within that locker room for the Vikings and for both teams, obviously. And something that's been notable is it's been a lot of good sportsmanship. I know when you typically have a game circled on your calendar, you can kind of come into it and build up a little bit of bad blood in your own brain about the other team. And it's been nice to see both two well-coached teams coming out here and just letting their play kind of settle things. But something that's new as of this half is it is now raining. And that inch and a half of rain that you talked about pregame that may hold out for the football game now has begun here at Hans Peterson Field. So it could change a little bit of how this second half is played out. And if anything, it falls into the favor of the Red Devils because Sayslaw has kind of gone away from that Veer offense with Jarek Lake at the quarterback position. Likes to put air the ball out as Lake has quite the ability to do so. And this rain can make a big difference.
Could get interesting. I mean, there is the option on the table with Michael Blankenship back healthy that they could make that switch if things get too sloppy in there. As everyone knows, once things get wet out there, it's really hard to keep your hands dry. Receivers start dropping the ball. The quarterback has a harder time letting it fly. So, yeah, that could definitely be an option that's on the table in the second half, and it would be interesting to see.
And it's been a good performance, though. I mean, obviously you can't talk about a guy like Oliver Gerard without mentioning a couple of those O-linemen for the Devils. And it really all starts with number 71, Miles Kern, the senior offensive lineman. He's quite stout. Wish we had a height and weight on him as well. What didn't have the cleanest snap on one of the plays for the Red Devils, but was able to athletically kind of pick that ball up and see where it was on the ground and jump on top of it. And the Red Devils went on to score that possession. So he's been big for them, but he also gets a huge push up front as he is quite stout. So really, really curious. If you're in there, though, you're the Spaceball Vikings, you're the Kokio Red Devils, what adjustments do you make at half?
If they don't know it's raining, I think the conversation might be different. But like I said, just keep nailing the inside of the line here. Keep the trench tight. You noticed when Oliver Gerard bounced outside, aside from the touchdown going into the half, the corners did a great job containing the flat and getting him down out there, or at least tripping him up and letting more helmets get to him. So that's another big key that they got to focus on. On the Siusaw side of the ball, keep the offense moving. I liked how after Jericho Lake's interception, he had that big 20, 30-yard pass down the seam to kind of gain back confidence there and just keep things moving offensively. I think they're doing a good job there.
Yeah, and the story of this thing has been Will Johnson. Obviously, you don't have the four touchdowns in the first half if you're Will Johnson without Jericho Lake, but Will Johnson has just been such an athlete, and I've called him a million times. He is just such a Swiss Army knife. If you need him on defense, he can do just that. You need him on offense blocking, he'll do that. Need him out in space, you ask it, he'll do it, and do it at a high level as the Red Devils are now back out taking the field. And he's been able to get into the end zone four times this evening within the first half. Jackson Chang was accountable for the other touchdown with a 17-yard carry up the right side and punched it in for six and was able to get what they call an octopus, which is when the same carrier or same player is able to get it in for the two-point conversion and is accountable for all 8 points in a scoring possession, which is pretty rare.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of fun to see the Vikings offense, and I'm just curious to see, like you talked about, if they need to adjust, and if so, how they adjust with this rain coming down. But we'll quit babbling. We'll finish these Lutero burgers here. Vikings out in front 36-20 with 3 minutes left here in the halftime show. Probably another couple added on to that, but stay with us here on Coast Radio Sports. Well, I was able to get down to my last bite of my Lutero burger. It's hard to refrain from trying to get it down as I was getting the 5-second countdown, but elected not to. And the Vikings now out on the field, and both teams now obviously know that the rain is coming down. And as an Oregon Coast team, it's not anything you're not used to. Last week, obviously, a lot of rain the Vikings had to practice through. So it's not like it's the first time it's coming down on this team this season, and it's, you know, what in the world is coming from the sky? Talking about kids that have grown up here, but I'm curious to see how it plays out. And zeros hit the clock as we'll see how much time is added on. 3 minutes comes back onto the clock here, so it's been a good half. It's been a clean half. I mean, there's been a couple penalty flags thrown. The biggest one would be on that 3rd and 15 that the Vikings got the pass interference called against them, and it wasn't anything egregious. It was just an absolute duck of a throw out of Robertson. Not saying that it was a bad thing. He just had Bryce Franzoni directly in his face, and Franzoni is significantly taller and had his arms outstretched up high like he was closing out on a guy trying to make a three-point shot. And Robertson was kind of just forced to duck it up as high as he could to get it over the outstretched hands and kind of just hung up in the air as a duck would. And Vikings didn't turn around and pick it up in the air and made a little bit of contact, and it moved the chains, and the Red Devils were able to punch it in for six. So those little things can add up to be big things. And, yes, they may not make a difference whenever you're up. I mean, they very well can obviously make a difference when you're up 16-0, but they really make a difference in the playoffs.
Oh, and it's good to know, or it's good to note that with this rain coming down too, that could change. I mean, we know when the rain comes down, typically a lot of running happens. We've already addressed that. But a lot of penalties can happen too. Things can get sloppy. A lot of fumble turnovers can start happening. You know, it was kind of the most fun games to play in, at least in my position. Maybe not yours. at cornerback and wide receiver, it's kind of makes things terrible for you. But in the line, it kind of does get fun because, you know, okay, the ball is crossing this line of playing for the majority of the rest of this game. I know it's either coming at me or coming to me the rest of the night. So I think ball security would be a huge key going into the second half. Oh, yeah. With the rain coming down. Who's going to maintain the ball the longest and not turn it over? It's going to be a huge differential in the second half.
I remember going out to practice and games and you name it, the harder it was raining, the more energy the offensive and defensive lines had, and the least amount of energy could not have, I mean, the wide receivers and corners and position players just hated their lives.
Oh, you're looking out at you guys shivering.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not getting any targets.
And you got steam coming off the top of your head, warm as can be. You guys are just psychotic down in the trenches, and we were out there like wet dogs.
Yep.
Looking to be let inside. And the Vikings now back out on the field, returning. They're going to be on offense here. It's going to be onside kick up the middle, right at Owen Burt. Owen Burt does a good job of getting on top of it. And thankfully, that thing was not kicked at Colin Barnett. And no bad blood to Colin Barnett, but he's my younger brother. And I've seen what that kid can do with a football in his hands. And luckily, it goes to Owen Burt for the Vikings. And obviously, if you're listening, I'm just joking. That's my little brother there.
Almost Butterfinger.
Yeah. So the ball now spotted at the 48-yard line in Vikings territory. And they break the huddle. It's going to be two receivers to the near side, two to the far side. Jericho Lake out of the shotgun formation. Jackson Chang into his left. Motion comes to the near side. It's going to be a jet sweep. Tom Morgan. Tom Morgan, the speedster, looking for the edge. But the Red Devils doing a good job of stringing him out to the sidelines. A late flag comes in.